Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is about sex. If you're faint-hearted or easily offended, you might not want to listen, but you should. Join me, Tracy Cox, and Kelsey Chittick as we share honest and real sex advice on this award-winning podcast.
Tracy is an international sex educator and author of lots of books about sex and relationships.
Kelsey is a podcaster, comedian, and author who is getting out of her comfort zone both in the bedroom and in these conversations.
Each week, we answer three anonymous sex and relationship questions sent in by you, our listeners, and nothing is off limits. Here's Sex Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sex Talk. I've had a great week, a bit of a boring week, which revolved mainly around buying some new vintage jeans. But apart from that, everything was fine. How was your week, Kelsey?
My week was fine. I didn't buy any vintage jeans, but I will tell you, I'm getting out there. I'm getting out there in the dating world. I'm getting out there in the hooking up world. I'm making moves, and I'm making you proud. That's all I can tell you.
Ooh. Well, we all know that I know all the details secretly.
Of course, anyway. I told her everything. Yeah, no, I feel like I think being on this podcast helps me because you help me figure out, like, just to look at sex and hooking up and relationships, all of it in such a different way than I grew up. And there's a lot of freedom to what you share and you don't have judgments on it. And I've always had a judgment on so many things. Like, there's only certain ways we do things with certain people in certain times. And you have encouraged me over and over the past year to have fun. And I think I'm finally starting to have fun. And boy, is it fun out there.
I'm encouraging Kelsey to be promiscuous. No, I'm not. I'm really not.
I'm not that. I have a line that's very clear in some areas, but I am way more open to people and experiences than I ever was before. And it's a dream, truthfully, because I was married from 19 till 40. And I missed all those years of everybody just really getting after it.
Yeah, good.
It's been fun. I've met some great people, had some great experiences. And I just want to say I owe it all to you, Trace.
Thank you, I think. Don't let anything bad go wrong.
Wild woman.
Yes, I know. I don't know whether this is a compliment or not.
It's a compliment. Are you kidding me?
I know. I'm taking it as a compliment. Right. Come on then. Let's get into it.
Okay. Here are the questions.
Thank you, Kelsey.
Yes. Here are the questions, and they're great ones. So thanks for sending them in. All right. Here we go. I love sex and I love the feeling of an orgasm, but I've never been able to have more than one. Are all women capable of multiple orgasms and how can I increase my chances of having one?
Right. Well, all women, they don't really know if all women are. The research suggests that about one third of women are able to have them. A lot of women don't bother aiming for them because they think that one's quite enough, or one's hard enough to achieve, let alone more than a few in the one go. But we do know certain research about how to have one if you want to try for one, which I shall tell you. So we know that women are easier to have them than men because women climb up the hill to orgasm slower. And we stay in that sort of highly aroused but not quite there stage longer than men. So we're better able, if we orgasm, we come straight back down to that arousal peak rather than dropping off a cliff. So if the guy, and this is the first hint, or if your partner continues, doesn't stop when you have an orgasm, but keeps with very gentle stimulation, it can take you down again and then straight back up. Whereas with men, it tends not to work that way. So that's when they say women are engineered for multiple orgasms. That's what they mean. You can, first thing you tend to do, if you're really serious about this, you train yourself through masturbation. So you'll take yourself to the brink of orgasm, stop just before, wait for arousal to drop, you know, take yourself back up again, stop, you know, take yourself right up about five times without letting go. And this, what this does is it trains the body that there's a different way, like that you can have a big rush of stimulation That's not necessarily followed by an orgasm, but then there's another rush following it. So instead of our body going, right, we're going to climb up this orgasm hill, and I know that when she gets to this level, she's going to go to the top and that's going to be that. Your body goes, well, hang on. She might stop and then there might be more. So it's waiting for more. So it's all a bit psychological and your body's neurotransmitters and nerve ending signals and all that sort of stuff. Now, we know that for sure, this one's for sure, is that people achieve multiple orgasms, women who do, they alternate stimulation. So you're not going to sit there and have 500, you know, multiple orgasms with the guy giving you oral sex or your partner giving you oral sex. So you need to switch from oral sex to penetration, to using a toy, to fingers, to tongue. So you're looking to create different stimulation. And also we know that in order to sort of get you back up there again, you need to dial the arousal up a notch, which means things like double stimulations, like say you're, you know, he's kissing you and, you know, touching your breast and then he adds a finger, or you use a sex toy, or you add something like you leave a toy in, you watch some porn, someone spanks you. It's just adding up that sort of, you're adding it up a notch because you need more stimulation to keep you aroused. We know to avoid small sensitive areas directly after the orgasm and work on big arousal areas or erogenous zones. Like for instance, you'd avoid the clitoris because the nerve endings get super stimulated and overstimulated, and maybe move to the breast while it all calms down a bit. And you'll love this one. French kissing. Kelsey's a big fan of French kissing. The more tongue kissing, the higher the arousal for both sexes. And then a final thing is they know that if you pump your pelvic floor exercises, so if you've been doing your Kegels, you're ahead of the game here, that will also help keep the orgasms coming.
Literally.
Literally coming. Literally.
Yeah. I don't think during my marriage, I ever did because it was like the thing we were doing was we were going to have sex, we were going to both have an orgasm, and we were going to get back out to our life. I think what I've learned over the last 6 or 7 years is if you have time in bed, if you're not trying to get anywhere, if you're not trying to just check sex off the list, I think most women probably can have multiple orgasms. I mean, I don't know the science behind it. I think it's an ability to just relax. And I mean, I had this experience this past weekend where the goal was like, there's nowhere to get to. We're not trying to get done. We're not trying to finish. We're not trying for everybody to have an orgasm right now. Like, we want it to be an experience of time. Like, it doesn't, like, we want to be in and out of this for a couple hours, not this, you know, jump in, hump and pump, and we're done. So I think
which means we do it more at the beginning, let's face it.
100%.
It's beginning. It's when you first with somebody that you tend to have.
It's called the first night is what it is. That's what it is.
The first 3 months. Come on.
Yeah. But it's like, it's fun because you're slowing down as opposed to speeding up. And that slowing down allows you, I think, to have multiple orgasms or almost orgasm. So you're not having that full ending one where you're like, that's it, call it a night. But there is a sense that there is a wave that is coming up and down throughout this experience. And so, you know, I think, and everything you said is exactly what I've learned. And I'm so damn grateful that I learned this because it has changed my experience of sex or you know, any of the physical side of relationships when you're not going for this one experience and then it's over in 10 minutes. Mm. So I do think you're capable. I think it has less to do with your body and more to do with your mind.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you want to try?
Yeah. And I do think that lots of women struggle to even get to one. So to sort of sit around and wait for another one is I think it's what you do if you're really into sex. Both of you are really into sex. You're really, you know, into the person that you're with. And it's something that you do in the beginning. And you do it when you're younger to see if you can do it. I mean, I've had multiple orgasms. You've had multiple orgasms. So, yeah, it is something that you want to try. So, yeah, try those techniques. That's all we know for sure through research. And, but I think what Kelsey said about you're slowing it down, not sort of rushing to get to the end is the best advice. Yeah.
And I also think you need to have a good playlist, but that's just me. You have to get out of your head. If it's like dead silent and you just are hearing the bed shaking, it's hard to relax. So you've got to do something that takes you somewhere else. So porn, music, something, anything that isn't just the sound of the bed shaking.
Some people like the sound.
Well, good for them. Well, God, that's a no for me. Oh, God. Okay.
Okay, right.
Next question. Moving on.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a good one. This one, I feel like a lot of our group of people have touched on this, or the husbands have asked this over the last, 10 years. Okay, here it is. I'm a straight guy wanting to suggest a threesome with my wife of 4 years. She's really into sex and very adventurous, but I've never suggested anything like this or even asked if she's had one in the past. I have. I would love to see her with another woman, so it would be a male-female-female combination. Any suggestions on how to suggest this without causing issues? I feel very nervous about it.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
It's
a no. It's a no for me. I mean, for me in a marriage, it's a no, but that's me.
But would you be offended if your husband said, look, I'm really thinking about, would you be offended?
I guess I assume every man would love to have a threesome with two women, including his wife. I don't know there's a lot of men that were like, that doesn't work for me. If if you were open to it, I wouldn't be offended, but I would almost rather not know because I don't think I would ever say yes to it. Mm. So I wouldn't want to get involved with it. It sounds like with this woman, she is adventurous. I'm not that adventurous. I'm definitely not adventurous in terms of groups or threesomes. That just, for me, it's too emotional, the connection when I'm physical with somebody. I couldn't.
But you wouldn't be horrified and say, that means you don't love me.
No, but I would be like, good luck, because it's never happening. And now I know, and now I would feel bad because I'm letting him down, but it just would not work for me.
Right. See, the main reaction that people are very funny about threesomes. They either super intrigued by them or they hate them with the kind of passion that's generally reserved for pedophiles. Honestly, they have that kind of reaction. And people who, there are two types of people in the world who are sexually adventurous and can separate love from sex. And there are people who cannot do that.
Yeah.
And for people who can't do that, which is the majority of the population, they take it as a massive, massive insult, the thought that their partner, who loves them, thinks that they could share them. Mm. And so it can go horribly, horribly, horribly wrong. So you've got to do this, no matter how adventurous she is, that's great, but you got to do this baby steps. Now, I would never, ever, ever say to somebody, hey, how about you and I have a threesome? You start with, what do you think about threesomes? Or you lie. You say, God, my friend is so into threesomes. What do you think about threesomes? Or I read that lots of people are having threesomes. Bring up the concept. See how that goes. If her reaction is, oh, yeah, you could say something like, I've always been intrigued by them. I just wonder what you thought. If she's into it, if she's sort of remotely up for it, it's very easy to go from there into, have you ever had one? Would you like to try? Just talking theoretically here, right? So just have that conversation. Now, the combination of male, female, female is much more likely to get a yes, simply because women are highly sus of men who want to interact with other men. And also it makes it seem worse. Right, so not only do you want to share me with another woman, which is somehow more acceptable, you're happy to let another man have sex with me. That's like, Women who agree to the, MFF threesomes often would be horrified by the suggestion of another man. So you're on the right track there. Also, lots of women, as we know, and we talk about, watch lesbian porn and are quite bi-curious, which is my next suggestion, that maybe there's another way of doing this. If she says, yeah, I kind of am intrigued, would you be open to watching and not participating? Because I know a few couples who do that and they find it a massive turn on.
Yeah.
So if be prepared also to why do you want to do it? Because she's going to think, you know, the first thing people think is, oh, you're bored with me, which is kind of what you were hinting at, that you're like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to give you what you want. And maybe if she's not open to it, you could do some role play. You could visit a strip club together. Maybe you could have a webcam worker watch you, you know, and have sex in front of a camera. There are lots of safer ways to indulge the fantasy if it's a real thing for you. If you do proceed, please don't do it with friends. Please don't do it with friends. But there are some great apps, and they're worldwide apps. So there's one called Three Rider. You can join as a couple or a single.
And Three Rider.
Three Rider, that's it. But it hasn't got an eye. Three Rider must be. And the other one is called Feld, which has been around for ages. Field, F, it's not Feld. Christ, I'm just so useless at pronunciations. That's F-E-E-L-D. Now, this has been around for a while for anyone who's into sort of swinging and stuff. And it's got an extra strict policy attached to it. So if you don't want it, because sometimes these apps will want to see your Facebook profile to see you are who you are, and you don't want that link to your Facebook profile, whereas Field is very, very private. Also, don't forget to meet first for coffee if you do agree to one, and set massive rules. If you want to take it through to the actual doing it, there's a good blog on my website, which is tracycox.com, on how to have a threesome with the least possible fallout.
I mean, God bless you. Yeah, I know a lot of people who have debated this in their marriage. I don't know a lot that have done it when it has and it's gone well. Mm. But I do know there's been a lot of debate, and sometimes the debate took the marriage to really tough spots once they brought it up. So I think you're smart about how you said you start talking about it, not about you wanting to, just a curiosity on where they stand on it.
Yep. And like I said, people are love-hate about it. They're really, you know, they're like, yeah, I understand it doing it in college, but I can't imagine if you love someone that you'd want to do it. If your wife says that, back away. Just back away and don't go there.
I feel like once you're married, you kind of, I mean, for me, this is just my opinion for myself. You get married to be with one person. If you want to have threesomes, you're probably someone who might want to stay dating or in a more unique experience.
Polyamory is really popular now, Kelsey.
Yeah.
So many people get to with someone, they stay with their one person, but they have relationships on the side.
Right, but they're not married.
No, but some of them are. Some of them are.
Yeah. No, I think it's for me, listen, everything's changing.
Yeah.
I can't shake. If I love somebody, I don't really want to share that, but I know that other people, that is love. Like, you did what I wanted. I loved you. I just think it can get messy quick. Mm. But anyway,
I think conceptually I'd be open to so much stuff, but I know that if you put me, so in my head, it was like, yeah, I can see, you know, that would be great. And obviously, you know, monogamy can be boring sexually. Not, of course, that I'm ever bored.
No, God forbid.
But I know that if you put me in the room in the moment, I would absolutely hate it. I'm too jealous. I would hate it.
I don't want to see it. I think some things are best in our heads and in our imaginations. Mm. Like some things, you keep it in your mind. And that's what I would tell him too. You know, visualize it, masturbate to that. But I don't know that. When you do it for real, there's a price for everything. I guess that's what I have to say.
Yeah.
The price for everything. Okay. Last question. I love the podcast, and I'm guessing you will both tell me to mind my own business, but I'm worried about my 24-year-old son. He doesn't seem to have any interest in getting a girlfriend or having casual sex. He knows I've had a colorful past, which is a nice way of saying a lot of partners before I met his dad, and I've asked him why he isn't out there exploring. His answer was that he's not that intrigued by sex. After a bit of digging, he said he's scared by what expected of him and not sure he wants the sex he sees on porn. I didn't ask outright, but I'm guessing he's a virgin. Is this normal? I can't imagine why a 24-year-old good-looking boy isn't interested in sex.
Well, how old's your son?
18.
Right. So do you know much about, we don't want to talk about your son because that's far too.
I mean, I can talk about the normal stuff.
Generally though, yeah.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. I'm not worried. I think that this generation, because of phones and because of porn and the access to so much, I think they're later to the game because they have so much on their phone and they're digital. I think women have gotten so much more aware and they lead sex in a way that generations before men were the leaders of it. So I think women are coming in a little hot and bothered, and the guys are, the guys used to be the ones that were doing that. The women are like fired up and ready to go. So I think it's a little bit scary for them. And I think a lot of guys do not want to get pregnant or get somebody pregnant. So they know there's ways to do that, but they, you know, they're not sure. So I just think our kids are really advanced in some areas, but I think sex has become less because of phones. So I don't think you should be worried.
No, I mean, I just did a big feature on this for someone else, so I'm sort of up on all this. And there was one study, it was quite extraordinary actually, between 2009 and 2018, the proportion of adolescents reporting no sexual activity, either alone, so they're not masturbating either, or with a partner, rose from 28% to 44%. So that was for young men, and 49% to 74% for young women. Yeah. This is Gen Z we're talking about here, and they are hardly having any sex at all. This guy is the norm. He is not the exception. They're taking longer to grow up because we're living longer, so everything's in slow-mo. Like, they've got no rush. Like, when we were growing up, you know, well, not us probably, but our grandparents, you know, you'd get the watch at 60 and you'd be pushing up the daisies after that. You know, there was a rush to get everything done. There's no rush now. They're choosing to live at home longer because they're in sort of politically, you know, volatile times, the economy's stuffed. They have to, if they even want to attempt to sort of buy their own house, they're choosing to live with mum and dad because the world out there is scary. Plus, they need to save. They are much less hedonistic. Most of them don't drink alcohol. And coming from an alcohol-fueled, you know, young adult stage, honestly, I don't think I would have had sex if I didn't drink. I really wouldn't. I mean, because when you don't drink, you're like, you know what? I probably shouldn't. When you do drink, you're like, hell yeah, it doesn't really matter about the consequences. So if he's not drinking, I bet you he's not, then that plays a huge role in decisions. The other thing is, you're quite right about the phone. Sex was entertainment for us when we were growing up. They've got, like, they can binge whole box sets. You know, it's affecting everybody, not just the young people. Most people would choose a box set over sex half the time. And they're almost a little bit too educated about the risks. They not only know about pregnancy, but they know about STIs. They are informed every day that they're on the rise. They know that consent is huge, and this could be another reason why your son is scared of sex. It's especially scary for men. I think he's talking about, well, I'm guessing for sure that he's talking about the increase in rough sex, that choking or strangling for those aged between 18 and 29, this is now common behavior. I mean, the fact is, some women want it, but most don't. So this guy's, you know, the fact that he doesn't want to do that, he's going to be on you know, he's going to get him dates, not lose him dates. Social media is terrible in so many ways, but it's terrible for men because if he's ever clicked on an ad to say, you know, do you want a stronger, harder penis? He will then be deluged by all the ED drug ads saying, this is what you need. Women expect this. You've got to be able to perform, you know. So this is what he probably means by he's not sure he can do the sex that is expected of him. And, you know, when I think he's scared. I don't think he's asexual, but asexuality has gone out of control. Yeah. There are so many kids who just say they are not sexually attracted or romantically attracted to the other sex. I think they're just terrified.
I agree. And I think when we were growing up, even 25 years ago, you know, we saw porn maybe in a Playboy, but it was something we didn't know anything about. So we were all curious. No one's curious anymore. There's so much out there. I mean, I watched my daughter, who's 16, watch Game of Thrones. I mean, that is straight up porn.
It is, yeah.
It's straight up porn.
Right, full on, wasn't it?
On Netflix. And this is not even, and I mean, you know, at a certain point, you're just like, but so they're seeing everything. They know what's happening. We didn't know. So you'd be making out with a guy. You didn't even know what was coming next. You'd heard of it from your friend, but it's so different now. They know exactly what is happening. And I do agree that they're for guys, because there's so much porn and all of us have seen so much that if you don't have anything that's not perfect in terms of your penis or whatever, you're self-conscious. And
Do you know what else we forgot to mention? Sex is too readily available.
It's everywhere.
If you want young people to do something, you have to forbid it and make it difficult to get. And this, all that the hookup apps have done, it's made it too easy. And now they're very much into commitment. But what I was going to say is some positive things is, number one, great relationship with your son, for him to tell you all that. So that's the main thing. I don't think you should panic. I think you should just let him find his way. I think you need to reassure him about what women really want, which we've talked about on this intimate, you know, intimacy, connection, things like that. Men who know women that aren't going to, you know, orgasm through oral sex, not penetration. And I think the trick is to encourage friendships rather than sex. Like, make sure he's got lots of friendships going with men and women, and just sort of see then, you know, to sort of encourage him. Because it doesn't sound, I don't know what his friendship group's like. I'd be more going on that side. And then you never know, they might sort of get friends, and then they might get more comfortable, and then something might happen. But also, you know, I've got a couple of friends with, you know, grown-up boys that I'm quite close to. And they, honest to God, I was like, what's going on? Why haven't they got a girlfriend yet? One of them I was convinced was gay. Yeah. And he's now completely not. And I don't think he had a proper relationship until he was about 25, 26. Yeah. It's quite the norm.
It's so different now. So I wouldn't worry at all. Like everything you said, Tracy, I think think of a 24-year-old as a 14-year-old back. You know, we're about 10 years behind now because of all the things that you've mentioned. So I think it's awesome that he told you. I think he sounds like a great kid. You sound like a great mom. And I think a lot of us alternate whatever our parents did. We don't. So it looks like mom was kind of a free spirit. And son is the opposite. He's kind of a little more reserved. I think we do have generations that balance each other out. So you might have been really taking it to the streets, mama. And he's like, he's good. You know, he doesn't need to. Yeah. Or because you will be okay with it. He doesn't have to go. He's not breaking any rules. So he doesn't want to do it, like you said.
He can't rebel, can he?
You're like, okay, mom, mom, you want me to have sex more? Like, he's like, that's not happening. And I'm not taking out the trash either. You know, so anyway, Interesting. Very interesting. All right, everybody.
Relax.
Enjoy.
Okay. Yes. So send in more questions. Questions like these were really good this week. I liked them.
They were. Great. Thanks, Tracy. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Sex Talk. If you'd like your question answered on the show, send it to us at sextalkpod.com. So that's sextalkpod.com. You'll find info about my books, sex products, and more sex advice at tracycox.com. And that's Tracy with an E. My two sex toy ranges are sold online through lovehoney.com. Super Sex is for everyone, and Edge is designed for men who want to enhance their performance. If you like this podcast, please send it to your friends and rate and review wherever you listen to your podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.